Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. I'm your host, Sam Kamani, and my today's guest is Humayu Sheikh. Humayu is the founder and CEO of Fetch.ai. Fetch is using Web3 to decentralize artificial intelligence so it is more accessible by more people and it is more autonomous so that your agents that you create can talk to other agents. But he is here to share us how this new world of decentralized artificial intelligence and machine learning is going to work and how it is going to bring AI to more people, make it more usable and have more everyday use cases. So I'm super excited about this episode. Let's dig in and let's learn from Humayu what he's up to, why he's even building Fetch, who's going to be using it, and how you can use it straight away. This is slightly different. If you are just listening to this on audio, I also have uploaded the video on Spotify, so you can follow through, because I asked Humayu to give me a real live demo of how this technology would work, how anyone like you and I can use it. So go and check it out. I'll also upload it on YouTube at about same time. I'm going to be doing more videos at the same time as I do audio so that I can make technology more accessible to more people and you can watch the demos. If you are just listening, do not worry, you should be able to still follow through everything. Last thing I would like to mention is that there is nothing in this episode that should be taken as financial advice. Always do your own research and follow your laws and regulations in your jurisdiction. Finally, I do not run ads on my platform. My only ask is that you share this episode with someone. With that out of the way, let's get into it. I would like to welcome you to the show. It's great to be talking with you and would love to learn a bit more about Fetch, the company, the startup that you are building. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure. I think we've been planning this for a while, which is great. Finally, we get to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. For some of our audience who is not yet aware of Fetch.ai, they haven't used it yet, can you please describe what problems it solves and how does it work?
Just maybe perhaps give you a little bit of background on myself.
Sure.
Why I started Fetch. I was part of the DeepMind team early, the founding kind of group of five people. I was an investor, the first investor in DeepMind. And we took the task of trying to build artificial general intelligence. And this is, I'd say, probably 15, 16 years ago. So this is not, AI is not a new space for me. And we've been expecting AI to becoming the norm in the market for quite a while. Now, so when I came out of DeepMind, one thing which was clear was that if AI is to be useful by many, there has to be a different way, because big corporates, big companies are building AI, but they can, because they have data, so they can train their machine learning models. But there is no way, to take that and then for everybody to use it in an easy way. That's not, if you rewind 15 years ago, you can see, nobody had a clue. What you're building. It's only just very recently that this ChatGPT and OpenAI stuff has caused this. Now, in DeepMind, if you remember, we showcased some AI agents playing the games Go and all the other things. But all of that is great. But how do I bring it to the market unless I'm not Google? So that's the premise which Fetch started with. So we wanted to bring a democratization, decentralization to machine learning, AI, and then enable people to actually interact with this AI, to build this AI quickly, deploy it, and then use it. So that was the premise which Fetch was built on. And we started this in 2019. And the whole point of this starting this kind of project was to see how AI can be componentized and how AI can then be allowed by other people, so to use, and people who not big developers can still use it. People who are not machine learning experts can still use it. So that was really the premise of it. And we started with looking at what is it that is available in the market, which enables you to take machine learning model. You can train it, you can record it, and it's not in a corporate control. So the best solution was, of course, blockchain, because blockchain is a very good record keeping instrument. It's a piece of software which can keep a record without a central entity. And so if you rewind back to 2019, we looked at Ethereum and we said, look, it doesn't work for the purposes. So we needed something else. So we created our own chain, which we had our own consensus mechanism. We then transitioned to Cosmos because our core objective was not to build a blockchain. Our core objective was to build an agent, AI agent or multi-agent system. So that's what Fetch is doing. So Fetch is building a multi-agent framework, which enables you to bring AI machine learning models. It enables you to bring automation. It enables you to bring decentralization, and it enables you to bring all of that together where you can easily build your AI agent and you can run it. You can discover other agents and you can transact, interact, and communicate with them. So that's how, that's what Fetch is.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Quick question. There's so much to unpack here. But first of all, can I get like an example of how it would work?
So let's work towards, everybody knows what ChatGPT does, right?
Yes.
ChatGPT, let's start there. So ChatGPT is a machine learning model, large language model. It understands your objective and it then talks back to you based on the language model, right? Now, I'll touch on what's happening here. So what you do is you say, okay, I'd like to travel from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to evaluate this share price. So I would like to evaluate this company because I want to buy something. Or go and tell me how I can have a private chef, or how can I have a cleaner, or how can I get any of these things? So what ChatGPT or what an LLM would do is really get you all the information and how you can do all these things. It's a lot of conversation, but not very much action, because action requires you to able to connect to the service provider, the product provider. And that means that what you need to do is you need to connect all of these services somehow and then ask the question, and then the agent can go and actually go and perform the actions. Now, it sounds very simple, but it's not, because as you can imagine, and you played with it, so you know how it goes, you can ask questions and it can write paragraphs and it can tell you lies so good that you will believe in them, hence the hallucinations. So you can actually, a lot of conversation is happening, but no action is happening. So our motto is a little less conversation, a little more action.
Yes. Okay. So let me share. You talked about ask ChatGPT to give you future stock price of something, and it will give you a long conversation on this is how you do it and all that. For me, how I use it is that I would give it, say, data of last 3 years of the daily close price of, say, Bitcoin, for example, just keep it simple. And then I would use, first of all, I'd give it that data. Then I would ask it to use autoregressive integrated moving average model, ARIMA, and then calculate, or there's lots of different ways to those type of models. I'll ask it to use that model and calculate the moving average and or do regression analysis and then give the price. What will the price be in 1 week's time? And it does give me that, or 3 months' time or 1 month's time. And of course, it will have a disclaimer, but it does do that. So is it just the problem with the people?
That's not the point. The point here is that you have to give it all the information. Now, you're looking at it, what it is today. What you need to look at it is what it will be tomorrow, what this whole industry will be tomorrow. How do you say to it, go and do this without giving any data, without giving any connection? Because it needs to go and search for it, right?
Yes.
It needs to find it. The question is, how does it find it if you are going to make a retrofit to Web 2.0 in the old-fashioned way? Then it's cumbersome. It's not made for it. It's like saying Yahoo does the same, Google does the same, right? Yeah, we made a list of it. You can still find all of those things, but it's a clumsy way. And Google did backlinks and everything. Google came up with this new way, which was much easier for people to be found rather than listing on something. At the moment, we're at that stage, which Yahoo was, where we go and list it. We say, oh, yeah, here it is, and go and do this for me. But how do I say, just go and do this for me, right?
Yeah.
And it goes and finds it, searches and discovers it. How does it search and discover? Because at the moment, the problem you have is it has to go and it has to analyze all the data from the website.
Yeah.
But that's a clumsy way, because what you need is a direct connection. And that's where the agents come in, because the agents are holding the information, which says, okay, I'm here. I can provide you that information rather than you providing that information.
Yeah.
That's really the subtle difference here. It's not about, can it do it or can it not do it? The question is, how is it going to do it? So I go and ask.
Yeah, so that's what we are doing. We are creating an agent which will keep taking that live data every day and keep maintaining that data. And so whenever anyone asks what will its price be in 1 week, 2 days, 5 days from now, it already has access to that data. So that's what we are doing.
So how do I find out about it?
Oh, I'm pretty much like creating either an interface where people would be able to go and see that. And
yes, but that's the problem. The problem is you're saying I'm fitting it into the old model. What I need to do is I need to tell my agent I'm looking for this, and my agent can find your agent and say, okay, I know an agent which can give me all of this information. So yes, you're building your agent, but you need somebody to find that agent, because otherwise it's just a website. So if it's a website, then that's the old-fashioned way. You need to move into this new paradigm where websites are not the suited.
Needed.
They're not needed, yes. You need agents, your agent, my agent, but they still need to be able to communicate with each other, because how does my agent communicate with your agent?
So that's the other thing. I also created like custom GPTs or custom agents and put them on the ChatGPT shop. I've done that as well. So that's the other way.
No, that's not the way, because that's very manual. That's one-to-one. You don't do on Google, you don't keep going back to Google and start telling it. You just set up a website, Google picks it up. That's the difference. So what you're building is the right thing, but what you don't have is the framework where all these things get connected to each other. You're doing one-to-one mapping. So you're building this agent and you're saying, oh, it just predicts the share price. That's okay.
Yeah.
But what if I want the share price and then I want to do something else with it? Then you have to write the code for it.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point. That you shouldn't write the code for it. And that's where we come in. Because what you're doing is you're saying, I've got 10,000 agents I've built. How do you monetize it? How do you get found? How does somebody come and ask for it? So let's say very simply, you have built an agent which gives me a price prediction for 6 months.
Yes.
So you built it. You have to put it somewhere so people can find it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. You can put it on. You can put it on ChatGPT, but that's not enough, because how do I find it unless I go on to ChatGPT? That's
not, because most people are not advanced enough even to search inside ChatGPT for custom agents and stuff. So
I know how to use WhatsApp, for example. I know how to use a messaging system. So the whole point is that I can you've built that agent which predicts, let's say it predicts the weather. If, let's say it predicts it's going to rain or not in the next hour, right? You build that agent, which is the same as, let's say, share price agent.
Yeah.
Or we could. So now I say, I need a cab or I need to walk to the underground. What should I do? Shall I take an umbrella or not? And now I type this message and my agent has to somehow find your agent. I don't want to create this hard-coded system. You need to find each other. Because you need to say, oh, I can tell you the weather. And my agent needs to say, oh, yes, I need the weather. So I need to connect with your agent. I need to exchange that information. But I also need to exchange the economic value.
Yes.
So that system does not simply mean you can just go and list it on OpenAI. That's a lot more complex than that. That's more dynamic. So let's say you provide this weather system in New Zealand and somebody provides it in the UK. So how do I find one or the other? I don't want to go and go through the search and I manually sit there connecting it.
Yes.
So a system of agents is required where anybody can build an agent. You build one, 10,000 other people can build one. And these agents have a purpose. and somebody will need to use that.
Yes.
It needs to be autonomous. So we can, somebody can look for a search objective. The agent automatically identifies where to go and find it, and then connect your agent, and then executes that plus other things. Because one thing you're doing is weather, but weather might mean, oh, do I order a takeaway from or not? So then you say, okay, if it's going to rain, then order me a takeaway. If it's not going to rain, book me a restaurant. Again, I'm just using a very basic example. How do you make that decision today? You can't on, let's say, on ChatGPT. You can't do that today. And that's the next phase of development that's coming.
Yeah. That is pretty cool. I am actually on fetch.ai/agents at the same time, and I am getting it. So you can even host these at Agentverse. Is that right?
Yes, that's so you can build the agent. When you build the agent, you can host it on Agentverse. And then anybody who's looking for that particular thing can find it. And I can show you.
Go ahead.
Example. So
go ahead.
Okay, so here it is. As you've done it, so you already know what this is about. So let's say you go on Agentverse, which you can see, and you host your agent. Let's say your agent is doing something like, it's giving me a flight price.
Yes.
Right? So what I need to do is, you've launched it and I need to use it. So I say to my agent, I go on here. This is a developer interface. It's a Delta V interface. And I said, I need a flight to New Zealand. I want to go and see some. And my agent then picks it up and it says, okay, all of this is pretty normal, right? So you're going to find where you're going from, where you're going to, where's your place, where do you live? All of that I confirm. But then it's going to your agent. And you can see on this side here that whatever the thought process that is going on, and you're asking me which airport do I want to launch from. But it's speaking to your agent to find out what the prices need to be.
Yes.
And it's your agent it's speaking to. So somehow it's found your agent, which is the agent which is giving the flight pricing and everything.
Yes.
And it's speaking to it to find out what the information is. So this, you can think of it like a kind of Google for agents. Right? You know, Google does it for websites. But if you have an agent which has an active potential, it can be a learning model. It can be just a simple API introduction. I don't know what airport New Zealand has.
AKL, Auckland. You can just do the main. Yep. Which is like.
So it's speaking to the agent which you have created without me having to worry about when and how. So this is the new phase of, you don't have to build a whole vertically integrated, in-depth e-commerce system. You could just create an agent and then you could just communicate with that agent, and this might not work, but you can see it's in a developer mode. Yeah. So the developer is looking at the observation. It's saying, okay, this is,
good. It's working so far.
If the other side, we just created some dummy agents. So there are multiple dummy agents. So this could be, let's say it could be something like Qantas, or it could be, it's all
British Air or Emirates or whatever. Yes.
Anybody can actually launch their own agent. These are just made up. Anybody can launch their agent, and you can find those agents and you can communicate with them. And that's not available today. And that's exactly what we have here. And because it's such an open system, all these actions can be recorded on a chain for auditing purposes, for any other purposes. So once you confirm it, so it's communicating with this agent, it will connect, it will find out. Again, as I said, this is made up. But booking confirmation, now you can send it. It sends it to my website, my email address. I get a confirmation. All the things that you can do in a old e-commerce system now can be done via agents, just more intelligently. It's okay to create one-to-one interaction with one system. But what we are saying is, as we go into the future, it will be your options. You will not need aggregators, people who put everything together. Your agent will be able to go independently to all the businesses, hence cutting out one of the biggest draw financial economic stuck on customers, on businesses, which is the aggregators, because then you don't need them to exist in a way. they exist today.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I would love to show you an agent I built, and then you can say whether I can put it on Fetch or not, if you'd like to see.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's great. So these are now actual prices. They're coming from, let's say, Amadeus system.
Yes.
So there's an agent which is communicating with you here.
Yes.
There are multiple agents. So Amadeus could be...
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, I can see it. These look more realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really what we do. So if I stop sharing and then you can share. Great. I can see it.
Yeah. So this is like a custom GPT or an agent that I built to help VCs, like venture capitalists, raise money from family offices, high net worth individuals. And then so basically you can ask it, okay, give me details of, say, 5 family offices in Germany, and then it will go and then analyze the data and find that for you. So there you go. It will go and write like an email. You can ask it to write an email for that person. But then it will not send email. It will not do any other research on them or anything. So I understand. So now that my agent will talk to other agents as well. And the other agents will talk to my agent when they're looking for this information, because all this right. information is not available on Google easily.
And also on top of that, so let's say all these family offices have got, because what you're doing here is you're actually data mining. So you're looking
yes.
at tech, right?
Yes.
This is not active.
So we have our own database. Yes.
Right. So what I'm saying, what Fetch does is that it makes it active. So the family offices will have active agents, which you can communicate with. And you can say, hey, look into their calendar, book me a time. I want to speak.
Absolutely. That's what it cannot do, this one.
And that's what the Fetch system enables builders to build, rather than us building it for everybody, because we don't want to be the aggregator. We're providing the platform, we're providing the calendar integration, we're providing all the data integration, we're providing the ability for people to connect Hugging Face, machine learning models.
Yeah.
You can just build the Hugging Face model, you can provide the API, and you can generate an agent. If somebody's looking for any inference, they can actually query it, they can get paid for it. So you can do all of that.
So I can put my agents that I make on Fetch. That's fantastic. I understand now, and it will communicate with other agents. That's the big thing it's not doing right now.
Yeah. And you can actually, I can send a WhatsApp message to my agent saying, hey, I need a family office in Germany. And it will communicate with your agent, but you charge for your agent. You might say, hey, I can provide this information, but I'm going to charge you a cent. That's the premise. And then obviously somebody has to pay the cost of you to build it. So you can monetize your agent.
Yeah.
And that makes
so much sense. So initially I was thinking of, okay, monetization, how to go through, do I go through the old school method? Do I do some, because I looked into this, there are even places which will allow you to put your agent in an NFT and then sell that as an NFT. There's all sorts of things these days. There's also the old school method of just creating an interface and just getting people to sign up and charging with credit card. What ChatGPT does, similar sort of a thing, charging them $20 a month or whatever it might be. But it is all cumbersome. And then your agent is still not talking with other agents, and other agents are not talking with yours. So I completely understand it. It makes so much more sense. My next question is about putting data on chain. How expensive is it? And what are the pros? What are the cons?
I'm not too pro putting all the data on chain. You don't need to put all the data on chain. Zero knowledge proofs. And there are technologies available which kind of makes you choose what data you want to put on chain. But what I'm a proponent of, though, is that if you need to put data on chain, then that is available to you. And if you need to put a transaction on chain, that is available to you. So let's say my agent communicated with your agent and did a transfer. Let's say I paid you $1 for something. Your agent provided me some information and I paid $1. First thing, if it goes through the banking channels, it's a nightmare. You can understand. Then now you have to create all these ledgers, which are centralized ledgers. Then you have to resolve. But if you do it on chain, that transaction can happen immediately. 1 cent, half a cent, 10 cent, all of those things can happen as you are querying the chain. Now, the other thing which is quite interesting is that if you're building a machine learning model and multiple parties are coming together to build that machine learning model, so the data is coming from different parties, And the machine learning model becomes pretty good, and you can monetize, again, you can monetize it using an agent, because all machine learning model does, takes an input, gives you an inference, you use the inference, right? So you can say, my agent, take the data, get ready with the inference. If somebody pays you 1 cent, give them the inference, right? So where do you record it? You record it on chain, because then you can audit who took the data. Where did it go? What happened to it? How much was paid for it? And then you can distribute that economic value amongst all the people who trained the model. So that is, that's another pretty decent use case why this whole AI economy is going to come to a some decentralized ledger technology. Now, I don't really particularly have any reference of which chain we use, but you could see some chains could be optimized for different purposes, and that's what we're actually optimized for. So agent communication, agent registration. So you can register agent on our blockchain. You don't have to. And then you could be, there could be a smart contract between multiple agents where you can actually carry out the transaction. So you can define all those things. But having said that, I'm not saying that's the only way, or there's a particular reason. People will come up with their own reasons. We're just providing the tools for people to build these kind of solutions. Some people might not want to use a decentralized ledger technology, and they might be quite happy to just maintain a centralized database. And I think that's more efficient generally. But when it comes to payments, multiple parties getting paid, then it becomes more feasible to actually use a ledger technology, decentralized ledger technology.
Yeah, that's that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I was just thinking about like next steps for Fetch. What are your plans and vision for Fetch? Where do you see the next few years?
So we now have the core platform. The technology is there. People can come and build solutions on it. What we are now looking is, we're onboarding developers, and we've started this year quite well. We have plenty of hackathons lined up. We have plenty of workshop sessions lined up. So the objective is to bring more developers. So that's one side of the story, because the more developers, they can build machine learning models. There's data scientists, university people. We're focusing on university people because they can build machine learning models, which normal, everybody, average person can use without understanding what the hell machine learning model is doing or where the data is coming from. But what is quite interesting, we found, was that most university students and data scientists who are building these models actually don't have a way to actually monetize them. Even with Hugging Face, which has actually given them the opportunity to host the model, who do you sell it to? How do you sell it?
Yes, it's very hard. It's very hard. And I do all these things for fun. That's why I don't care. But it's very hard. If I was trying to make a living off it, I can't. Not possible. Yes.
But now let's say I'm an independent person who says, you know what? I'm going to ask my agent to find me a share, some stock, which I can invest in. Right. And your agent can say, you know what? This agent is pretty useful. If I give them my preferences, it will give me a stock price, but it'll charge me for it. So you can monetize it. But the question is, I don't want to go online and Google and find 10,000 hits, which tell me, go on each website and find out which you want to trust. I want my agent to say, hey, this guy's trusted by X thousand people. This guy's trusted by Y thousand people. Which one do you want? Do you want the inference from this one or this one? Or you can have it both. Pay for both. So that's the ease of use of monetization. But on the other side, now we have to give consumer the tools to interact with this system. Consumers don't know what AI needs to do. They don't know how complicated LLMs are. They don't want to know. All I want is my life to be simple. I have a calendar. I want to have my house clean. I put an appointment on my calendar, house cleaner, right? For 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour. My agent goes and picks it up. It runs with it. It goes and finds me a cleaner. It says, do you want this cleaner? This is the rate. I say yes, no. If I say yes, it books it. The cleaner turns up. Now, that is what AI is going to bring in the next few years. But the problem you have is you can't build it with the same old e-commerce system.
Yes, 100% I agree with that. Next thing that I wanted to ask you is not related to Fetch. What is one other project that you are optimistic about when it comes to blockchain? And same question for AI as well.
It's a very difficult question in terms of blockchain.
It could be a chain, it could be a protocol, it could be anything. It could be a consumer app.
I'm thinking about it. So if you said to me any AI project which we can think of now, there's very limited projects. I don't think there's that many people building AI based. I know the NFT hype and people jump on it. If I speak to a cleaner today, they say my cleaning company is AI company because I'm using AI somewhere. If I discount all of that, I think there's some well-established projects which are in the AI space, which, you know, complement kind of some things which Fetch is doing, is Singularity is doing. We also announced a partnership with them in terms of building a neurosymbolic LLM. So I think they have some very good understanding of where we need to be. So Singularity is one of the projects I'm watching quite closely. There are some, in terms of commercial sense, I think there's another project called PAL, which I think is interesting because they're actually nothing too complicated, but it's very useful. So we speak to these guys. They're looking to use Fetch technology to make their agents much better, more interactive and be discoverable. So those two in AI. I think Solana, in my opinion, in terms of the chains as it goes, from where I'm looking at, is getting quite a lot of traction. After all the stigma that was attached to it, I think the ecosystem is growing quite well. So I think that is a project which I'm quite closely watching as well. But I don't particularly invest as such in projects, but I'm looking at it.
No, you don't have to invest, but this is just what you're like excited to see.
Not an investment advice.
Not an investment advice. This is just a conversation and just to see as well what are, like, I'd like to see the pulse of the market in a way that what are people excited about? What are people exploring and stuff?
Something quite interesting I want to tell you about, which is, and I think this fits in with what Fetch is doing. So one of our projects, spin-off projects, is called Metalex. Metalex is a decentralized exchange. That's the premise, commodities exchange. That was the premise. What we try to do with that is we completely making it agent-based. And we're completely making it in a way that it's truly decentralized in the sense that there is no central smart contract. So if you look at all the DeFi projects at the moment, you will see the exchange happens on a smart contract.
Yes.
Although they're not centralized, they are actually centralized because the smart contract is centralized and somebody is controlling it. So DeFi is not still true DeFi. But if you now think about that, your wallet has an agent, it's represented by that agent, and you want to buy and you want to sell something, you don't need to go to a central smart contract to interact with. You could actually say, hey, I want to sell USDT and I want to buy FET. So go and find me this order book or create my own order book here. People who are doing the same, either selling or buying. So how can you create that without having a central smart contract? So Metalex, which is our kind of a spin-off project, is actually got that up and running, which is quite interesting that it's a true agent-based system. You can actually just interact with it, say, do this, buy this, sell this, and it protects you. It controls how you interact with other systems and how do you actually deliver to me what is requested in a more financial sense.
Do you worry about we're giving too much power to the bots?
It still needs your prompt. It still needs your authentication, authorization. It doesn't do anything as such. But what it shows you is the kind of automation, because that automation is what is needed in the crypto space, because it's too complicated for a person to understand.
It is too complicated. That's why it's only 10 million people use it. Realistically, most don't.
So most of the time we give control to somebody, even when they use the app. It's so simple. It's so easy. And this will become a lot easier when we start using AI agents. We can simplify this a lot more.
That's why
I'm very optimistic that AI and automation is coming to Web3.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. It is absolutely coming in. And I feel like that's a use case of AI, like a massive use case of AI. And that is automation, that it can make judgment based on the data that it has learned from and interact with other agents, which it doesn't do yet. But hopefully with Fetch it will. So yeah, that's All well and good. Now back to you and back to Fetch. Do you have an ask for Fetch? I know you guys have raised a few different rounds of funding already so far. So if you're looking for, I don't know, hiring or looking for partnerships, looking for anything, feel free to share.
We're not looking for funding as such. Actually, we have so many people who want to invest. We're turning them away at this point because we just want to get to a point where we can see the traction coming. But anyway, we started with looking at onboarding developers. That process is going quite well because we're doing some workshops. People are starting to understand it, so they're trying to actually onboard. We had roughly now 16,000 Delta V signups. So we're encouraging developers to come and sign up to the system. Like you said, you have an agent. You already built one, right? So you want to just put it somewhere and you want to run it so people can actually question it, query it, talk to it. And that's exactly what we are encouraging developers. So my ask would be, if you're a developer, if you're a web developer, you're writing machine learning models, you're building them, you're training them, this is the place where you want to come and play with and see where we're taking this, which is going to help you in how you actually take the technology, make it usable, and be found and be discovered by different people. So we're really opening our doors to developers and techpreneurs. We want people who want to build solutions very quickly. In this case, what you have is what you saw on Delta V's is exactly that simple. You can actually put 3, 4, 5 things together and you can actually launch a service. You don't have to go and build complicated Web2 e-commerce solution. We already have payment solution. You can just click and you can connect them. All these micro agents, we call them. So you can put micro agents together and you can build a service and then you can launch the service and people can find it. So
potentially I could add the credit card delaying all that into the VC butler and help VCs raise their next fund or whatever they might need help with, or get access to deal flow and stuff using this.
That's exactly what this is for. And you don't have to build your own kind of monolithic system or an old e-commerce system. You can just do it. We're aiming that most services could be built here. If you have enough micro agents available, you could build a service within 10 minutes. You can put your 4 micro agents together, press the button, launch the service. And if somebody says, hey, I want to find a VC and get some money, it speaks to your agent and you deliver the service.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're looking for in this phase, in this year. And we're off to a good start. And I think we're seeing a lot of traction, not just from Web3, but also from other parts of different industries. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. That's really good. What I'll do is I'll put your contact details and your website and everything so people can reach out, so developers can go and find you. But thank you. Thank you, Himayu, so much for your time and wish you best of luck in building Fetch.
Thank you. Great conversation. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.